you have your Bibles, go over to James chapter 5, James the fifth chapter. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for the redemptive plan that we have, that you provided for us when you gave us the Lord Jesus Christ, that we didn't just get forgiveness of sins. We're so thankful for that. That's the major thing. But Father, we don't want to forget any of your benefits. You forgive all of our sins and our iniquities, and you heal all of our diseases. You redeem our life from destruction. And we thank you for the many benefits that we can tap into here and now on this earth, not when we get to heaven, but right here on this earth. Praise God. So today, Lord, we wrap our faith around this message today. We ask you for fresh utterance. And Lord, I pray for each of us that our spiritual eyes will be enlightened and open today, Father, to receive a download of revelation knowledge from heaven above. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, say, I believe,
I receive
wisdom and revelation this day. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the subject of divine healing and divine health has always fascinated me, even from a very young age. And it, to me, it demonstrated how it affected me years ago, many years ago. It demonstrated to me how that God is not just interested, because I remember when I was first saved, I thought the only thing, you know, was just my natural thinking. The only thing that God was interested in was my spiritual life. But the thing is, God made us a three-part being. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, this says that we're a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a physical body, right? So God made us a tri-part being, spirit, soul, and body. And he's not just interested in the spirit, that's important, but he's interested in the soul and in the body as well. Amen? And the scripture that I really like is 3 John 2. I'll just quote it here, and we'll get into James here in a second, but John the Apostle said this, "Beloved, I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Amen. So in other words, to the degree that your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, as that prospers, so will your pocketbook, so will your physical body. Because the renewing of the mind is so key and so important in this. Amen. So today I want to talk about, in the time that we have here this morning, before the other service, the main service, I'm going to talk about the prayer of faith and how to pray the prayer of faith for yourself so that you can receive healing. Amen. I'll never forget the first time, I won't go into detail, the first time I ever prayed the prayer of faith and I received healing for myself. And I almost was amazed myself. Praise God. Because, you know, there's a first time for everything. I mean, you know that. But then there's a second, there's a third, there's a fourth. Amen. But in James chapter 5, we see the classic scripture that I believe is one of the trademarks for walking in divine health, divine healing, praise God. And in James chapter 5, verse 13 says, James says this, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry or happy? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick? He's asking a question. Is any sick among you? Almost as if there shouldn't be. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the leaders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And notice verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Let's say that phrase, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now the word save right there in that verse 15 is the word sozo, not bozo, but sozo. And it means healing, restoration, preservation, safety. He says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now we see here that he's asking a question here. Is any happy in this church? He said, if you're happy, sing some psalms. He said, if you're happy, don't tell your neighbor to sing psalms. You sing psalms. Amen. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Praise God. In other words, tempted, tested, or tried, you pray. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the leaders of the church. All right. And anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And notice the verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save or restore the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. Now that has to do with being on earth. Not when we get to heaven, but right here on the earth. How many of you know that the prayer of faith shall save the sick? That's very important. Praise God. Now, I heard about the prayer of faith when I was younger, but I didn't know what it was. I thought, boy, if I could pray the prayer of faith, man, I'd have it made. But he goes on to say, confess your faults, verse 16, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, that's where people get mixed up. They think, well, if I could just become righteous, man, my prayers would avail much. But notice the next verse, in verse 17, Elijah was a man of subject of like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And again, he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, he says that Elijah, we know Elijah, you know, called fire down from heaven, outran the king's chariot, you know, mighty miracles were wrought by his hands. But the Bible says he was a man of like passions, just like you. Amen. And but he says the prayer of the righteous in verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I'm going to read this in the Message Translation or MSG. Verses 13 through 15. And it says, are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Sing. Are you sick? Call for the church leaders together and pray and anoint you with oil in the name of the Master. Believing prayer will heal you, and Jesus will put you on your feet. If you sinned, you'll be forgiven, healed inside and out. Isn't that good right there? Another translation that recently just came out is called the Passion Bible. It's not a paraphrase. It's actually a translation of the Greek, okay? And if you have Bible Gateway, if you have that on your phone, how many of you are familiar with Bible Gateway on your phone? They just added that to that. It's a tremendous, tremendous translation of some of the Old Testament books, but mostly New Testament, and it'll be a great blessing to you. But notice here it says, the prayer of faith shall. Say shall. Now, it didn't say might, didn't say maybe, didn't say perhaps. The prayer of faith will do something. The prayer of faith will restore. Now, if the prayer of faith will heal you, then the prayer of doubt and unbelief will keep you sick. Amen? So we're going to talk about this. Now, the Bible, without going into great detail, I'm just going to mention this, but the Bible says there are different, it declares that there's different types of prayer. Okay, there's the prayer of agreement in Matthew 18. There's the prayer of casting your cares upon the Lord in 1 Peter 5:7. There's the prayer of intercession in Romans chapter 8. The prayer of binding and loosing in Matthew 18. There's the prayer of praise and worship in Acts 13. Prayer of consecration and dedication in Matthew 26. And then, of course, the prayer of faith found in James chapter 5. And as Brother Hagin used to say to us, he says, not all prayer is prayed by the same rules. Okay? Prayer, people say prayer is just prayer. No, there's different types of prayer. There's the prayer of casting your cares upon the Lord. There's a prayer of praise and worship. That's prayer too. Amen? And the prayer of faith. And then there's the prayer of consecration and dedication. Now, what does that mean? When Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, remember, he began to sweat as it were great drops of blood because of the pressure. He knew what was going to happen, the price that he was about to pay, you know? To the point where his pores actually he sweat blood drops. He was under that much intense pressure. And he did that for you and for me. Amen? See, Jesus didn't just shed his blood on the cross. There was several places he shed his blood in the crown of thorns, you know. And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, several places that he shed his blood. When they plucked his beard and spit on him, you know. Several, I think there's 7 different places that Jesus shed his blood. But the prayer of faith is what I want to focus on today. And the prayer of faith, as we see here in James chapter 5, is one of the most powerful prayers that you can pray for yourself. Now, as you read the book of James, you'll see that is any sick among you, let him call for the leaders of the church. Now, let me just say this. It's not necessary. It's just a benefit. It's not necessary to call for someone in the church, a leader in the church, to pray for you. I don't mind doing that. I love praying for people. Amen. But once you know how, once you know how to pray the prayer of faith, you can actually pray it for yourself. Amen? Now, when someone's newer in the faith, you know, and they come to a church and so forth, there's no problem coming in agreement, laying hands on somebody and praying for them. because they can see the oil, feel the oil, they can feel the hands, you know. But you can actually pray the prayer of faith for yourself and receive. Let's go over to Mark chapter 11 quickly this morning. Mark chapter 11. And this is where I believe is the foundation of the prayer of faith and how to pray the prayer of faith for yourself. Hallelujah. Not only can you pray the prayer of faith for yourself to receive healing in your physical body, you can also pray the prayer of faith and receive increase in your life. So if you have a need in your life that needs to be met financially or something like that, you can also pray the prayer of faith. It's not just for healing. It is, but it's not limited to that. Amen? But in Mark chapter 11 and verse 11 here, Jesus entered Jerusalem into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out of Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Remember, we read this the last couple of weeks. And seeing the fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man will eat fruit of thee hereafter. And his disciples heard it. Now jump down to verse 20. I don't want to take a lot of time here because I want to move into some other territory here. But notice in verse 20, it says, and in the morning, the next day, they passed by and they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Hallelujah. And Peter, calling remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said, now here's where we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of the prayer of faith. Are you ready? Jesus answered and said unto them in verse 22, have faith in God. You might want to underline that in your Bibles or highlight that. Verse 22, have faith in God. Can we say that out loud? Have faith in God. One more time. Have faith in God. Anytime that you face any obstacle in your life, anytime that you face adversity in your life, this scripture will come back to you. It's come back to me countless times where you're like scratching your head. What am I going to do? How's this going to work out? How's this situation going to work? You ever been there before? And the Lord just says, have faith in me. Have faith in God. Or you could say it like this, have faith in the Word. Because it's the same thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? You have a physical manifestation of God's presence when you read the Word of God. That is the living Word of God. Have faith in God. For verily, verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now notice he's using words against the mountain. Say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Praise God. The word say or saith is used three times here in these verses, and the word believe is used once. That's interesting. Because the way that you release your faith, or the flip side, the way that you release fear, is by what you say. Amen? When Jesus told Jairus, when his daughter, he was going to pray for her, and then in the process, she passed away because the woman with the issue of blood came in and interrupted their session there, and the people ran from their house. The messengers came and said, don't bother the master anymore. Your little daughter's dead. And you know what Jesus did? He turned to Jairus immediately when they heard that bad report. That's as bad as it gets. Your little daughter's died. Don't trouble the master anymore. Has the devil ever told you it's too late? There's no hope here. You know how long you've had this problem? For so many years now? This is your lot in life. It's going to be like this the rest of your life. No. No. Amen? We're going to uproot that stuff. Amen? Jesus said this, fear not, believe only. Or we'd say, fear not, only believe. Amen? One translation says, fear not and suffocate fear. Suffocate fear. So what we do when bad news comes our way, that was bad news. It came, that was the ultimate bad news. Came to Jairus, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master any longer. What do we do when bad news comes to us? Amen. Now, when you turn the television on, you'll find out there's a lot of bad news. They call it 6 o'clock news, 11 o'clock news. Now it's 24/7 news, right? Most of which is really bad news because good news doesn't sell. So they want to put something out there, some gossip. They want to put something out there that's going to grab people's attention. Somebody just got shot. Somebody got killed, you know. There's never a day that goes by that that stuff isn't going on. It was horrific what happened last week in Florida. That was terrible. But we don't want to get fixated on that. We don't want to get fixated on that, right? But Jesus said in verse 23, "Verily I say that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe those things he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." And then 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, now here's the key right here. What things soever you desire, what do you desire? When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Amen. Now, in order to receive, according to Jesus here, according to him, in order to receive something physical, you have to believe you've got it before you get it. Okay? That's the prayer of faith. You have to believe you receive it, then you'll have it. Okay? Now, I think it's pretty easy. This is not complicated. This isn't rocket science, as they say. This is pretty simple. You believe you got it? It's yours. It's yours. Now, it has to be like this. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have. Now, there's four words that I find in here that I've tailor-made this, so to speak, so that you can receive this for yourself. The four most powerful words you can pray for yourself when it comes to the prayer of faith, receiving, now this is healing school, is these words, these four words: I believe I receive. Say it. I believe I receive. Okay, that's present tense believing. I've got it. I have it. Okay? I can't even count how many times in my life, to be honest with you, where, matter of fact, earlier this week, it was Monday to be exact, this is the second time the devil tried to put flu symptoms on me, okay? The second time in 2 weeks. I got healed the first time within 30 seconds. It was quite every symptom left. But then last Sunday, got home from church, all of a sudden I started feeling these weird things in my body again, these pains and so forth, you know. And the devil said to me, "You're about to take the flu. You're about to get the flu." And I spoke up and I says, "No, I'm not." He said, "Yes, you are." I said, "No, I'm not." He said, "Yes, you are." I said, "No, you're not." He said, "Yes, you are." I said, "I'll prove it, devil. Lynn, come on over here right now. Lay hands on me. When you lay your hands on me, I will receive healing." Okay? So she jumps up, comes over, she lays hands on me. She prays the prayer of faith for me. And I said this. I said, "I believe, I receive in Jesus' name." Now, right at that second, I didn't feel anything. Felt the same. Still felt the same pain, the same discomfort. I felt it. But I knew this, that if I received it in my spirit, it has to spill over into my flesh. Amen? And about 2 hours later, I looked over at my wife and I said, "Sweetheart, all the symptoms are gone. Praise the Lord." It came and it passed. Amen? So symptoms might come. Symptoms might come, but don't let them park in your driveway, so to speak. Okay? So symptoms doesn't mean that you're coming down with something. You're going to have it. Just because you have a symptom, don't let that put fear in you. Okay? Now, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, so I don't feel worthy, Pastor. A lot of people have that problem. Listen, sometimes I don't feel worthy either. Okay? Most of the time when I pray, the devil is right there to say, "You're not going to get it this time. You haven't prayed long enough. You haven't read enough scripture." Has that ever happened to you? You're not spiritual enough. You haven't fasted. In fact, you feasted. I'm just making a point. But put all that aside to realize that that's common. That's par for the course. That's going to come to your, you're going to have thoughts of, you don't have what it takes. Oh, you know, someone else does, but you don't have what it takes. You have what it takes. You've got the Word of God on the inside of you. Now, the prayer of faith is simple. When you pray about anything, now in this case here with healing, and you lay your hands on yourself and you say, I believe, I receive healing for, and you name whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, and you seal that on the inside of your heart. Now, I'll show you a New Testament example of, I think it's a really good example. Go to Luke chapter 1 for a minute here. Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at Mary, the Virgin Mary. Amen? Boy, we can learn some things from her faith example. Now, you know the story, probably familiar with that. If you came out of a Catholic background or really any religious background, you're pretty familiar with Mary, aren't you? You're familiar with her. Now, the Bible doesn't teach Mary worship. No, the Bible is against that. We're only to worship God and the Lord Jesus Christ. However, we can learn some great examples from Mary. There's a reason why God chose her. And I'll show you right in these verses right here. Now, we're talking about the prayer of faith and how you can pray the prayer of faith, how you can receive into your life where it doesn't become. Now, the prayer of faith to me years ago used to be the most difficult thing. I would strain and strive and like, oh, grip my teeth, you know what I mean? But actually, you can get to the place when you pray the prayer of faith, you just relax. You say, Father, I believe I receive this in Jesus' name. You'll become actually skilled at praying this prayer and receiving. Amen? But in Luke chapter 1, you remember the angel came to her and said that you're going to have a child, but it's not going to be through your husband, Joseph, because they weren't married yet. They were engaged. Remember that? And so verse 34, we're not going to read the whole chapter here because of time, but it says, and Mary said unto the angel, that's Gabriel, how's this going to happen, seeing I know not a man? Verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Now, isn't it amazing how when you have questions, the answer is always the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is smart. He knows how to fix anything. Amen? How many of you got to see last night, for the last couple of nights, Billy Burke when he was ministering at EMIC? I mean, there was notable miracles. I mean, blind eyes, deaf ears opening, people getting out of wheelchairs, you know, down at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And what a marvelous thing. That's nothing for God to do that kind of stuff. He wants to do that here in this place. He wants there to be people that are coming in here that have terminal diseases, that are sick and afflicted in wheelchairs and get raised up. That's going to happen here in this place. It's going to happen here. Amen. That's God's desire. That's God's will. I don't have to go halfway across the country to see these things happen. That's a misnomer. You don't have to move south to have that happen. Amen. You can have it right here, right now. It's up to you. It's up to us. And I've made my mind up, we're going to have miraculous things in this church. We're going to see more and more of the power of God, because that's God's desire. That's God's plan. But notice that Mary is saying, Lord, he said, or angel to the angel said, how's this going to happen? I don't know a man. And he said this. Here's his response. Verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the High shall overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, which is called barren. And it's verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Oh, I love that verse. With God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Yeah, but no. The Lord will kick your butt right out the door. You understand what I'm saying? People say, yeah, but. Yeah, but. No, with God, all things are possible. With me, with you, all things are possible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now notice, she didn't argue with the angel here. Now Zechariah argued with the angel, and the Lord shut his mouth for what, 6 months or something like that? That's John the Baptist's father. He started arguing. He was in full, he said, I got to shut his mouth. We got to keep his mouth shut before it'll hinder this miracle from taking place. But there's a different response here with Mary. When the angel said to her, Gabriel said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The Holy Ghost is going to come on you. You're going to receive, you're going to conceive. You know, and notice in verse 38, she did not argue. She said, Mary said this. She spoke out loud to the angel, says, behold, in other words, look here, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Praise God. When did she conceive? Right here. She conceived without the aid of a man. The virgin birth, the miraculous virgin birth. Because the seed of sin is passed down through the male. But Jesus wasn't born. His father was not Joseph. His father was God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Jesus didn't have the sin nature in him. Now, he was tempted like all of us, yet he didn't yield to it. Okay? But notice Mary got a word and she didn't argue. All, the only question she had was, okay, so I'm going to be pregnant. How's this going to happen without knowing a man? That's a logistic question. Okay? It takes a man and a woman to come together and have a child, right? Okay. She's just asking a simple question. He said, well, here's the answer. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you're going to receive, there's going to be a divine seed deposited in your womb called the Son of God. Praise God. Now, I wanted to tie this in with believing you receive, because Mary said to the angel after he mentioned that, she said these, I love these words. She says, be it unto me according to thy word. Boom, as they say. Boom. She conceived. 9 months later, here comes baby Jesus. Glory to God. But when she received the word, she didn't feel anything different. There was no sign. She wasn't looking heavier. Her stomach wasn't sticking out. There was a seed that was deposited on the inside of her. And then within 9 months, she gave birth to the Son of God. Amen. Now, here's what I want us to see here, that she received. Now, here's how you pray the prayer of faith. You receive. Now, the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we'll just refer to it because of time here this morning. 1 Peter 1, 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible, but incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the word of God is the incorruptible. In other words, it can't be destroyed. A word, do you know the word of God is seed? It's not physical seed. It's spiritual seed. But it's incorruptible. In other words, it cannot be destroyed. Now, you can take natural seed of pumpkins and corn and tomatoes. You can destroy that seed where that seed will never produce. That's a corruptible seed. You with me? But the word of God is the incorruptible seed, and it cannot be destroyed. And once it's deposited into your spirit man, it will produce a harvest. Hallelujah. So the word of God is like seeds. It's like a bag of seeds. You hold your Bible up. It's like a bag of seed. And every time you hear the word and you speak the word and you hear the word of God, seed is going into your spirit man, into your soul, dropping down into you and thereby affecting a health, a cure, and a miracle inside of your physical body. Amen. You know, according to Genesis, I believe the sixth chapter, the Bible says, God said, man's days shall be 120. Amen. Well, say, Pastor, I thought the Bible says God promises us 70 and at the most 80 years. That was in Psalm 90. That's for a disobedient, backsliding Israelites that were out of fellowship with God. That's not a promise. That's a curse. But God said in Genesis chapter 6 that man's days shall be 120 years. I don't know about you, but I'm going for it. Not even halfway there yet. Amen. My spiritual father, Kenneth Copeland, is going for it, and he's 81. And he runs around like a teenager, on fire. Glory to God. I love that kind of faith. Why not? The devil has talked people out of, I've talked to other believers, to be honest with you, and I said, well, the Bible says 120 years, and they laughed. Some of them have laughed at me out loud and said, I don't want to live 120 years. I said, oh, that's a shame you believe that. But how much more can we do? I thought, man, if I'm around here for another 63 years, how much more can I do to destroy the kingdom of darkness and enhance the kingdom of God? But I have to do it with a healthy body. And without the revelation of divine health that belongs to you, I think it's one of the most important subjects ever. Amen? Because see, once you're out of this earth, even if you're in heaven, if you leave this earth, you're unable to do anything else in the earth. Because your body gives you license to function in this earth. Amen? That's why dead people can't vote. Yeah. Something to think about, right? Because they've checked out. They've left. All right? But you have a license to be. You have a body that's in this earth. And your spirit is in your body, which gives you permission to function. You have authority in this earth because you have a physical body. Amen? That's why when Jesus came back in his resurrected body, you don't see him doing any more miracles. But he did them before that. Amen? Now he's delegated that power and authority to the church, which is you and I. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Mary said this. She made this statement, be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word. He was actually speaking to Gabriel. And the angel just disappeared. Mission accomplished. So in other words, she didn't argue. Have you ever found yourself arguing with the word of God? Lord, I know your word says this, and I know that it says I'm healed by your stripes, but Lord, do you know this situation here? God's saying, what are you talking about? And nothing is too difficult for me. Nothing is too hard for me. Amen. Now, we'll say this, just a little side thought here, that what you drink and what you eat is important. What the body, the food that you put in your body is very important. God made you a smart person. He gave you an intellect. He gave you intelligence. And he does expect us to learn what is healthy for us and learn what is not healthy for us. Now, the Holy Ghost will alert you if you're doing something, you know, and that's hurting your physical body. Okay? The Holy Spirit will check you on the inside and say, stay away from that. Or cut back on this or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Amen. If you're sucking down soda pops all the time, you will open up. Now, I'm not saying it's a sin to have a soda pop, but I'm saying if you constantly drink soda pop after soda pop, you are opening up your body for sickness and disease. Did I hit a nerve? Because if you found out what was on the inside of that stuff, I'm telling you what, it's opening up the door. That's why there's been, especially in America, there's been an onslaught of sickness and disease that other countries don't even deal with, like America, all because of the American diet, so to speak. But see, that's common sense. And the Lord will give you wisdom as to what to do, what to eat, what not to drink. You know, for example, if you're not, like, my parents, for example, they grew up, they never drank water. I mean, go figure that one out. They never drank water. No wonder. We lived in the city at the time. You drink that water, I mean, you don't want to drink any more water. Catfish comes floating out of the spigot, you know. It's like sewage, whatever. Lived in the city. It was terrible tasting. But see, spring water. Glory to God. is so healthy for your body. And your body needs adequate amounts. This is really basic here, folks. But your body needs adequate amounts of water for your organs to function, your brain to function, all of your organs, really your skin, everything. The biggest organ in your body is your skin. Okay? For that to function, you need adequate amounts of water and so forth. Now, I'm not here to preach diet or anything like that, but I'm saying this. There are things sometimes that we open up the door to the enemy because of things that we're not doing or should, you know, things we should stay away from. Does that make sense? But I believe that you have a cry on the inside of your heart for excellence. There's a cry inside of all of your hearts to say, I want to do the right thing. I want to put the right fuel in my body. Amen? Now, none of you would go out and put water, get your hose from your house and run it into your gas tank if you run low on gas. You say, well, that's the cheap way to do it. Yeah, but you're going to break that car down or that vehicle down. It's not going to run. Right? Now, if we know how to put the right fuel in our automobiles, we ought to have as much sense to put the right fuel into our physical bodies. Amen? There are things that I was doing that I didn't even know was bad for me for years when I was even a young child, and it caught up to me. But once I was enlightened, once I found out from the Lord that I was hurting myself, I cut that thing out. Remember Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. If your right eye offends you, pluck it out. Now, did he mean to run your finger behind your eyeball and pull out your physical eye? No. He's using an allegory. He's using an illustration that if there's something in your life that's tripping you up, that's causing you problems, causing you to sin, causing you to get into areas where it's going to hurt you, Jesus said, just cut it out. Just stop it. Cut it out of your life, and you'll see the benefits and you'll see the results. It's so much better. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's getting quiet in here. Amen. But I think we need to say some things like this sometimes in church. And we're not, our purpose is not to preach diet. We're just saying use common sense. Use common sense. And I'll tell you, when I made those changes physically, what I was putting in my body, getting sufficient water, I'm telling you what, I felt like I was 20 years younger. All because of that. Praise God. Now, Mary said this. She says, be it unto me according to thy word, and she received. So, when you believe, you receive. You take the word of God and you say, I've got it. I've got it. Now, Mary didn't stand there and say, I don't even look pregnant. I don't feel pregnant. But she was. She was. Now, in the last scripture, go to Mark chapter 4, if you would. In Mark chapter 4, and we'll wrap this up here this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In verse 26, this will be our last scripture here, and then we'll pray. And he said, Jesus said this, the kingdom of God is if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise day and night, and the seed should spring up and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Now notice this, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth forth the sickle, because the harvest is now come. Now, we know that the word of God in 1 Peter 1:23, as we said, is the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. And the ground is your spirit, your heart. Okay? And the two entryways into your spirit, get this, the two entryways or doorways or portals, if you will, into your spirit is through your eye gate and through your ear gate. Through your ear gate, through your eye gate. Now, I'll just refer to this, but in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, Solomon said this. He says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them, my words, not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health and medicine to all their flesh. Hallelujah. I love Proverbs. Talk about God's medicine. God's word is life to those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh. Do you know there's one medicine that's a cure-all for anything? You know, in the natural, they have different medicines for different ailments that people have. take this pill to help with this, you know. Well, that just kind of masks the symptom. It doesn't do away with the root of it. You know what I'm saying? But let me tell you something. God's word is medicine. It's not like medicine. It is medicine. God's word is life to those that find them. So you got to be looking for it. And health and medicine to all their flesh. All your flesh. Now, when it says all your flesh, that must mean your brain, your eyeballs, your ears, your throat, your stomach, your back, your kidneys, your liver, your gallbladder. Praise the Lord. God, say, God's word, is medicine, to all my flesh. Thank you, Lord. So you got to ask yourself, did I take my medicine? Now, if you went to a doctor and the doctor said, I got to prescribe some medicine. You got the situation here. And here's a prescription. You go get it filled out. And the prescription says, take twice. Once in the morning, once at night. And then see what happens after 2 weeks. Now, if you go back to the doctor and said, Doc, I'm not feeling any better. The doc's going to say, well, did you take your medicine? Well, I didn't feel like it. I just set it on there on the dresser right next to my bed, but I didn't do anything with it. He said, well, there's your problem right there. You didn't take your medicine. Now, that's natural medicine. But the Word of God is not like medicine. It is medicine to all your flesh. Now, he says this in Mark right here. He says the word of, he said, it's like a farmer. He plants seed in the ground. He goes, he said, it grows up. It springs up. But he doesn't know how. I mean, do you ever stop thinking, did you ever plant a seed before anything? I mean, you have faith in a seed. You put it in the ground, put water on it. The sun gets to it. It starts to produce. Now, you can't figure that out and say, how does that happen? Amen. But we know that it works. And the farmer says, you know, the word of God is like that. It's the first, it's the blade, the ear. So in other words, you're going to see a little bit of progress when you put the word of God in your heart. Amen. If you can go from feeling bad to feeling a little bit better. Now, you may not feel physically totally 100% yet, but if you can go from feeling bad to feeling just a little bit better, you're on the right track. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. In other words, full manifestation. But so many times, all of us have gotten discouraged in the process. Oh, I just got a blade. I'm believing God. I just got a blade. That's a problem. The blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Then you're ready to put the sickle in for harvest. Amen? And I think, to be honest with you, I think that's where a lot of the body of Christ has gotten discouraged because they haven't seen a full... Now, for example, what time is it here? Yeah, got a couple minutes. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, believers, one of the signs that he said would follow believers is that they would lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Now, the word recover is a process. A miracle is an instantaneous, like bam. 1 minute there's pain, the next second there's not. Now, the end result is what we're after. Jesus didn't say, lay hands on the sick and they shall have a miracle. He said, they shall recover. Now, don't get me wrong. You can have a suddenly. There can be suddenlies where, like, it's gone. Amen. But what if you're prayed for, you pray the prayer of faith and you feel just a little bit better, maybe 5% better, maybe 10% better. But then in your mind, you're thinking, well, I prayed. I should be totally healed. What's the deal here? Listen, the blade, the ear, the full corn in the ear. Do you see what I'm saying here? And this is where a lot of people get misled and misguided by these kind of things because they're not realizing the process. The Word of God takes time. It gets in your spirit, but then it takes time to root out some of those things. Okay? Most of the time when I've received healing from myself, it was not an instantaneous. 99.9% of the time, it wasn't instantaneous. Okay? And I've had some major, major physical, I almost left this earth 2 times, 2 different situations because of physical ailments. But when I prayed the prayer of faith, it wasn't like an instant, bam, but it was a process. Amen? So How do you pray the prayer of faith? How do you do that? When you pray the prayer of faith, you say, I believe, I receive. Now just go ahead and lay hands on yourself right now. Okay? And I feel led of the Lord, instructed of the Lord right now to, we're going to do this. And believe me, Jesus paid a full price for your forgiveness of sins, fully. He took 100% of your sins, not 80%. If He left any of it, you would go to hell. He took all of your sins, all of them, 100%. To the extent that Jesus took your sin is to the extent that you take His righteousness. And believe me, He took it all. Past, present, and future. He took all your sins. But He also took all of your sicknesses and diseases. Legally speaking, He already took that for you 2,000 years ago. But the prayer of faith is like signing the check and releasing the money that's in the bank. It's like putting the ATM card in and withdrawing something that's already in your bank account. In your spiritual bank account, you are wealthy beyond your wildest dreams. In your spiritual bank account, you are totally healed. Faith makes a demand like a check, like an ATM card that withdraws the things from heaven and becomes vital on the inside of you. Now say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank You for the plan of redemption. I thank You that You paid a dear price for me to walk in divine health. And right now, I rebuke any sickness, any disease, any pain in my body. And I believe, I receive divine health, divine healing in my body right now. Pain, You cannot stay in my body. Sickness, You cannot stay in my body. I believe I receive. I'm getting better each and every minute. In Jesus' name, I believe I receive. Praise the Lord. Now, the only thing I'll leave you with is this. Praise the Lord. You just like Mary, be it unto me, you just did the same thing right there. What if you do that every day? You just say, oh, thank You, Lord. I believe I receive wisdom today. Every time I get up, I believe I receive favor today. I believe I receive divine health in my body today before I feel any symptoms. I believe I have full provision today in Jesus' name. You're keeping the switch of faith on and it's starting to come. Now, the only thing that Jesus said would hinder our prayers in Mark 11:23, He says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. That's one of the, if not the biggest hindrance to your prayers working is a spirit of unforgiveness or ill will towards anybody. But again, you determine, I'm not going to let that. Now, all of us have had people say things to us, do things to us that were not pretty, that were not nice. All of us have. Whether they knew it or they sometimes unknowingly they did things and it hurt us. But you know what? I forgive them. I choose to forgive. I will not have an attitude towards anybody. I will not do that. I don't care if they've wronged me, said things about me. Listen, when you're in the ministry, you'll sometimes have people say things about you that are really cruel and mean and vicious sometimes through the years. But you know what? I let it roll off my back like water off a duck's back. I said, no, Father, forgive them. I love them in Jesus' name. I love them. Amen. Father, help them. They don't know what they're doing right now. Forgive them right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And that way you're keeping the pipe clear. You're keeping your spirit clear and it's not going to be contaminated. Husbands and wives, make sure you walk in love towards your spouse. Okay? Don't harbor bad feelings. Don't harbor ill will. Amen? You know, Jesus took the blame even when He wasn't guilty. He took the blame. The end result is we just want peace. We want peace. We want the love of God. We don't want our prayers to be hindered. Amen. Let's just take a moment and thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father God. Thank You so much, Lord. We love You. We praise You right now, Father. Thank You so much, dear Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord is touching someone's eyesight right now. You've been having some issues with your eyes, and they've been getting blurrier than they were. And right now, there's healing power that's flowing into your eyes, into your retina, into your cornea, into your eyes. For the Word of God says, God made the seeing eye and the hearing ear. And now you will see more clear than ever before, physically speaking. You will see more clear, more clear, more clear. To the point you won't even need glasses anymore. You won't need them anymore. You won't need them to read small print. You'll be able to read it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Conceive the Word of God. We thank you today, Father. Just like Mary, Lord, be it unto us according to the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.